Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
And I am Pat. And today we're looking at one of Taiwan's its greatest exports, really. Mm. A gift to the world. These hand-shaken, often bubble tea, you know, with the pearls in, drinks. Hugely famous, now starting to appear all over the world.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen them in the UK. I remember when my wife was living in Canada, there was a Taiwanese bubble tea shop.Like within about 10 minutes of where she lived.
Really?
Yeah. Do you like these kinds of drinks that much?
I like them, but they're extremely sweet, and I really can't be consuming too much sugar in my diet, so I avoid them, but I remember having them before, and they are darn tasty. How about yourself?
Yeah, same. Probably, it's the sort of thing I would only have maybe sort of once a month, once every couple of months. I'm more likely to get just like a straight tea drink without the bubbles in and maybe have a little flavor, but no added sugar and syrup. But sometimes when winter rolls around, they come up with a few. Last winter, there were some ginger and longyan ones that were quite nice and warming. So
okay.
I'll try something new like that if it happens to be around. But
sounds delicious.
Yeah, the kind of pearl milk tea with the milk and the bubbles, that's the sort of thing I can really only have once a year and then decide, that was too sweet for me. I'll avoid that for a while.
Certainly don't want to drink them every day, at least I'm not going to. But in any case, lots of people enjoy these. As you said, they've become popular all over the world. So we're talking about the love affair that people in Taiwan have with hand-shaken drinks, not just with bubble tea, but other kinds of drinks that are hand-shaken at the various shops you see all over Taiwan. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read through the entire contents of our lesson right now, and we'll come right back to discuss it.On a hot afternoon in Taiwan, it's no surprise that many people turn to hand-shaken drinks for a refreshing escape. The temptation of a cool, tasty beverage is so hard to resist that in 2020 alone, over a billion of these treats were sold in Taiwan. This incredible number may make you wonder how the hand-shaken drink has evolved into its modern classic form, namely, milk tea with tapioca pearls. In fact,There are two distinct accounts concerning the origin. Tu Zonghe from Tainan's Hanlin Tea Room asserts the blend was his innovation in 1986 after the idea occurred to him during his visit to a wet market. On the other hand, Lin Xiuhui from Chun Shui Tang in Taichung claims her spontaneous decision to drop tapioca pearls into milk tea at a staff meeting in 1988.Created the first bubble tea. The dispute rages on, but the pursuit of excellent flavor and quality in hand-shaken drinks has never stopped, with the Milksha brand leading a shift toward premium ingredients. Milksha advocates using white tapioca balls without preservatives and fresh milk in place of non-dairy creamers. Not only has this commitment proved consistent with consumers' growing health consciousness, but it has also raised industry standards.Moreover, hand-shaken drinks have become a feast for the eyes. Kabuka, for instance, tailors its menu cards for each branch with distinctive pictures on the back to incorporate local characteristics. Meanwhile, Chun Fun Hao designs colorful patterns for its cups to delight customers. Taiwan's hand-shaken drinks are more than a means of relieving thirst. They've become an indispensable part of the Taiwanese experience.
So we're going to start off by looking at the title, Taiwan's Love Affair with Hand-Shaken Drinks. A love affair, of course, is a romantic attachment between two people. Now, even though it's got the word affair in it, it doesn't mean that it's a husband with another woman. It's not an extramarital affair. That would be the proper name for that kind of thing. A love affair could just be two people who meet for a summer vacation and fall very passionately in love.Maybe it doesn't last more than a few months, but during that time, it was very strong. It was, as I said, passionate. And that's the kind of love affair Taiwan has with hand-shaken drinks. People here love them. They can't get enough of them. There are new drink shops all the time trying new combinations, and they always do good business.
Indeed. So they have this sort of romantic relationship with those drinks that are hand-shaken. I guess that means they put the ingredients together, and then the server... picks it up and starts shaking it back and forth to mix the ingredients up inside the cup. So here in the first paragraph it says, on a hot afternoon in Taiwan, it's no surprise that many people turn to hand-shaken drinks for a refreshing escape. Yes, it's April now, and temperatures are going up and up. So, of course, summer is coming. It's just around the corner. It's going to get hotter and hotter. So you might be looking for a refreshing escape, and you're going to enjoy a hand-shaken drink that's nice and cold and can make you feel cooler. So if something's refreshing, of course, it's new and exciting. And, of course, if you have some kinds of refreshments or drinks, you can feel as though your thirst has been quenched.
Exactly. And in this case, the temptation of a cool, tasty beverage is so hard to resist that in 2020 alone, over a billion of these treats were sold in Taiwan. Which is quite a phenomenal number, really. If you think Taiwan's population is 22, 23 million.
Right.
So that means in a year, every single person is drinking like, what, 4 or 40 of these things? I can't work. The numbers are so big, I can't even figure it out. What I can figure out, though, is the meaning of temptation. Something that is a temptation is something that you really want, even if you...kind of know maybe you shouldn't have it. We often use it to describe desserts, sweet things, stuff that would be a real pleasurable experience to have, even if it's not necessarily good for you. You might say, well, I'm quite happy with my job, but the temptation of going somewhere with a higher salary was too hard to resist. It just calls to you and makes you want it. Meanwhile, of course, a beverage is just another word for any kind of drink.
Right, and of course, such a drink is hard to resist. And so in 2020, lots of these drinks were sold in Taiwan. And yeah, like you, I'm not really good at mathematics, but if I had a calculator, I could figure out how many cups of this drink everybody in Taiwan had last year. Now, moving on to the next paragraph here, it says, this incredible number may make you wonder how the hand-shaken drink has evolved into its modern classic form, namely milk tea with tapioca pearls. So we're talking about this huge number, a billion of these drinks. That is an incredible number. If something's incredible, it's difficult to believe. It is so high, it is so fantastic, it is so wonderful that you just can't believe it. That is incredible. He played an incredible game last night, and we saw it at the auditorium. It was an incredible game. It was hard to believe. And this is a really huge number. And so because of that number, you might be thinking, what is the history of this drink? Where did it come from? And specifically or namely, we want to talk about milk tea with those tapioca pearls or tapioca balls.
Yeah, the Genju Naicha, the classic one. That's why we use namely, because we use this adverb when we're going to give the name of the thing we just talked about. What is the modern classic form of hand-shaken drinks? It's that Genju Naicha, the pearl milk tea. So by using namely, we are specifying exactly what we mean by this modern classic form. Now, you guys might have already heard this story. I've heard it a number of times since I've lived in Taiwan. The article says, in fact, there are two distinct accounts concerning the origin. So if they're distinct, that means they are separate. They're different. It wasn't these two people who worked together to create it and then went off their own ways to start their own tea shops. It's two people who've both had these ideas completely independently in different circumstances and in some cases using different ingredients.
Right, so we have two different stories or versions or accounts concerning the origin as to where these drinks came from. Let's talk about Tu Zonghe. That person is from Tainan's Hanlin Tea Room, and he asserts or he insists that the blend was his innovation in 1986.After the idea occurred to him, the idea came to him during his visit to a wet market. So that's his account, that's his version of this story. He says that, yes, I came up with this idea, and I'm from Tainan's Hanlin Tea Room. This idea occurred to me in 1986, and I got the idea when I went to visit a wet market.
Yeah, a wet market is just another way of describing a market where people sell fresh food. food, fresh seafood, meat, fruits, vegetables. There may be other stalls, but the term dry market would be the kind of market like selling clothes, street vendors selling clothes, electronics, other things like that. If it's a wet market, people have got like the raw meat and the raw fish there on blocks of ice. They've got big boxes full of fruit and vegetables and so on. So that's his story from 1986. But then, on the other hand, Lin Shouhui from Chen Shui Tang in Taichung claims her spontaneous decision to drop tapioca pearls into milk tea at a staff meeting in 1988 created the first bubble tea. That's her story. That's her claim. That's the word we used. And she decided to do this with no plan at all. It was spontaneous. Something that is spontaneous just happens without any kind of prior thought, any build-up to it. It just pops into your head and you do it straight away. She thought, oh, I've got these tapioca pearls as a snack. I wonder how they'd taste if I put them in my milk tea. So she did that when the staff of this tea room, this Chen Shui Tang, were meeting. And wow, it tasted really good. And the company immediately started to sell this product. So two stories, they both individually sound true. So it sounds like both these people and both these groups have got a reasonable claim to being the inventors of bubble tea.
Right. And it's probably unlikely they occurred at the same time. So we really don't know whose story is correct, whose story is sincere. And I'm not sure which one I believe either, but it doesn't really matter because no matter how it was invented, we do have this drink with us now and we can enjoy it as best we can. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in our lesson for today. Let's take a break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello everyone, 我是派老师。今天讲解的是四月份十七号 ,Unit 11。Taiwan's love affair with handshaken drinks. 这个单元介绍的是台湾的手摇饮。我相信我们绝大多数的听众都喝过珍珠奶茶。在台湾街头上也几乎随处可见手摇饮的店家，其中有许多都是连锁店。那这一课内容让我们了解到珍珠奶茶的起源，也介绍了连锁手摇饮的特色。好，我们一起来看学习重点吧。请同学看到第一段第一个句子 On a hot afternoon in Taiwan 这边。好，请同学呢注意到 handshaken 这个复合形容词 handshaken drinks 也就是所谓的手摇饮。那复合形容词你看到这里中间有一个连接号，前后连接着两个不同的词性的字。Hand 这里呢是名词，后面的 shaken 呢是过去分词，因为他们是要修饰 drinks 就是饮料。那这些饮料是怎么做的呢？ These drinks were shaken with hands， 那是用手去摇而制作出来的饮料。那所以为了要显示，既然这里要修饰的是饮料，要显示是被动的关系，所以我们用的是过去分词，就这样。好，那再来请同学看到这个句子最后面 escape 这个单词，这里是当名词使用， escape 当动词最常见的意思其实是逃离，名词有相似的意思，不过在这里前后文的关系我们不要过于拘泥字面上的意思，所以引申出来的是脱离某种困境的意思。前文提到台湾炎热的午后很多人会喝手摇饮，所以这里的 escape 意思就是消暑。好，大家呢喝手摇饮消暑。好，再来呢 escape 类似当作名词的用法呢，就让我们暂时能够呢远离现实嘛。好，比方说来一个例句好了， Romantic novels should present an escape from the dreary realities of life。言情小说可以让人忘却沉闷的生活现实。再来请同学看到第一段第二个句子，要跟同学说的是词语搭配。The temptation of a cool, tasty beverage is so hard to resist. 好，这样的引诱，诱惑是很难抵抗的。Resist temptation. 请同学画起来。再来请看逗点之后的这个部分。这里讲到 these treats。这里 treats 所指的呢，当然就是这些手摇饮。 好，再来请同学呢看到的是第二段的部分。第二段的第一个句子哦，讲到手摇饮的演变。The handshaken drink has evolved into, 好，所以演变如何演化，如何改变， evolved into。再来呢，请同学看到有两种说法，所以珍珠奶茶的这个起源呢有两种说法， two distinct accounts。 这里 accounts 当然就是故事啊，哦，有两种不同说法， distinct 是截然不同的意思，那分别呢是第三个句子还有第四个句子，那有点各说各话，所以我们看到第三个句子这里呢，所以讲到这个台南翰林茶馆的讲法 asserts， 请同学把这个动词特别画起来，他们是这样子坚称的，这样子说的。那比照一下第四个句子，第四个句子台中春水堂他们也有自己的讲法，那动词我们换一下，不用 assert 而是用 claims， 但其实都是他们表示什么。好，这里请同学特别注意。
We're going to take a short break now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the article. We see now in the next paragraph that the dispute rages on. So the dispute we're talking about, the argument, the disagreement, is the one we talked about in the previous paragraph. These two people who both claim to have invented bubble tea, handshaken drinks, that kind of thing. So no one's ever going to solve this. No one's ever going to officially rule it was them and not him. It was him and not her. It's just going to continue. That's why we said it rages on. Rage can mean very angry, but if something is raging on, it's continuing quite fiercely. Both places, I've been to the one in Taichung, and they've definitely got signs up that kind of say, we invented this, this is our drink, this is how it happened. And I'm sure the place in Tainan does as well. So they're both fairly aggressively claiming, this is our product, we were the very first. Neither side is going to go, you know what, okay, we'll let you have it, you can claim it, we're just going to let it go. So it is still pretty fierce with both businesses wanting to claim it, because of course, being the innovator, we use that word innovation, if you do make an innovation, you're an innovator. Being the innovator brings you a big kind of marketing boost, like we're the first, come here, we're the original, and therefore the best.
Yep, if you can prove it, of course, you might be able to get some sort of copyright, and if someone copies your idea, you can sue them or whatever. But nobody really has determined who is the rightful owner to this patent, I guess you could say. So again, the dispute or the disagreement or the argument rages on. It continues to go on in a violent fashion. But the pursuit of excellent flavor and quality in hand-shaken drinks has never stopped, with the Milksha brand leading a shift toward premium ingredients. Okay, so again, we can't really decide who invented this, but they continue to make improvements with this drink. And we're talking about the pursuit of excellent flavor and the pursuit of excellent quality. So, of course, they want to improve on the drink as time goes on. This improvement has never stopped. Let's talk about the Milksha brand. This particular brand has led a shift toward premium ingredients. If something's premium, it's high quality, it's the best you can get. And ingredients, of course, are the things that you put together to make a drink or a dish or a product or whatever, especially if it's food or a drink.
So the Milksha brand is leading a shift, which means there is a gradual movement with more and more tea brands going, we want to use premium ingredients. We want to use the best stuff, the freshest fruit, you know, fewer kind of chemical syrups and other things like that. We want the best kind of stuff. And more companies are following them, the Milksha brand, because that's how they can market their stuff as premium. That's how they can keep up and compete. So we see Milksha advocates using white tapioca balls without preservatives and fresh milk in place of non-dairy creamers. So if you advocate something, you publicly speak in favor of that thing. You say, this is what we should do. I support this. You probably provide some reasons to support this argument, but it's your public position and the way you're going to approach a particular thing. So they've got a couple of things they want to do. Use white tapioca balls without preservatives. Now, most Zhenju Naicha drinks have got the black balls, the little chewy black balls. I have seen white balls. I've seen kind of black and white mixed in some drinks. I guess the white ones haven't had any extra dye or something else in them. They're probably the natural form of, because tapioca is a starch. And so if you just boil that, it's probably going to be kind of white or pale. So using that white tapioca balls maybe means that's the more natural form. Without preservatives, so without extra chemicals that keep something fresh for a long time. Some things have natural preservatives. Salt is a natural preservative that can keep meat fresh. But otherwise, we do use chemical preservatives in a lot of foods to keep it fresh for longer. But taking those out mean the ingredients in the food is purer.
Right. According to the information I have, tapioca comes from cassava, which I think is from a root vegetable of a tree that grows in the tropics. So, of course, they want to use the ingredients that are freshest from those root vegetables or from those roots. And as you said, Pat, maybe the black balls have something added to them like a dye or other chemicals. So if you have the white tapioca balls, they should be fresher. And again, they don't put those preservatives in there. That means they have a shorter shelf life. But, of course, people do appreciate fresh ingredients. And also what they're doing is they're replacing the non-dairy creamers with fresh milk. A non-dairy creamer is something that basically turns your drink white, and it sort of tastes like cream, but it's not really cream. It's a chemical. I think the most common kind of non-dairy creamer is Coffee Mate, I think it's called.
Yep.
It's quite popular, at least in the U.S. I don't know about other countries, but lots of people use that because it's just easier to use. You don't have to have fresh milk on hand, but it's probably not as good as using the real thing.
That's right. But this seems to be working. This approach that Milksha is advocating is doing well. We see in the article not only has this commitment, this drive and promise to use fresh ingredients, proved consistent with consumers' growing health consciousness, but it has also raised industry standards. So consumers like this. Consumers are people who buy a product. It's kind of a fancy word for customer, really. But they consume your product rather than just use a service. It's more likely to be used for people who are actually buying and then using, eating, drinking something. And they have a growing health consciousness. People realize that fresher ingredients without chemicals added are better for them. And so they are conscious about buying products of this kind. And because of that, Milksha's commitment to using pure ingredients, it works with them. It proves consistent. It matches with what they think. So, of course, people are going to shop here and buy more of their products. And not only that, it has raised industry standards. So other companies now will go, yeah, us too. We will use fresh milk instead of creamers. We will use pure ingredients and white tapioca balls because otherwise we'll get left behind and we'll get the reputation for being the cheap but slightly not so good brand, and nobody wants that.
And nobody does, indeed. And in this sentence, of course, we've got the ever-popular not only but also pattern. We're talking about two things occurring at the same time. So not only has this commitment proved consistent with consumers, but it has also raised industry standards. So it has done two things here. By improving the quality of this particular drink, it has proved consistent with consumers and their growing health consciousness. So they're thinking, hey, these are tasty drinks, but we know they're loaded with sugar and preservatives. We want something healthier for our diet. But also we've got these industry standards with companies that produce the products for these drinks. So two things are happening at the same time. Remember, a consumer is just somebody who uses a product or service.
So the article goes on, moreover, handshaken drinks have become a feast for the eyes. So a lot of good food has to be this way. It's got to look appealing as well as taste good. And that's the way the food or drink looks, that's the packaging, that's everything. We've got a couple of examples here. Kabuka, for instance, tailors its menu cards for each branch with distinctive pictures on the back to incorporate local characteristics. So if you tailor something, you change that thing to suit a particular customer, to suit a particular environment. A tailor is somebody who makes and cuts clothes to fit the people who buy from the tailors. So it's the same way as they would cut the cloth to make it longer, to make it shorter, make it fit somebody correctly. These drink shops for Kerbuka are changing its menu cards for every branch, every different shop, to add these pictures that incorporate or involve and include local characteristics. So the ones down in Tainan will maybe have pictures of Tainan landmarks and food. Up in Taipei, they'll have different stuff. Anything that really kind of speaks to the local area, yeah, we'll include that. That'll make us individual. That'll make us stand out a bit from the competition.
And, of course, consumers will probably collect those cards because, of course, people like to collect things. And maybe if they have the whole set of all the cards from those different branches, they'll be able to sell it for a price. Who knows? But, again, these different branches have different menu cards with their distinctive pictures, and they incorporate the local characteristics. As you said, maybe a card in Tainan will include pictures of the local temples or whatever. And meanwhile, at the same time, Chun Fun Hao designs colorful patterns for its cups to delight customers. Yes, it's a great pleasure when you order a drink at a drink shop to have some kind of picture to look at when you're drinking it. And yes, indeed, they have these colorful patterns on the cups that you can enjoy every time you order a drink. And maybe they have all sorts of different patterns on different cups that you might collect as well.
So we now move to the conclusion, Taiwan's handshake and drinks are more than a means of relieving thirst. So they don't just make you feel better when you're thirsty. They don't just give you something to drink and then forget about. We see they've become an indispensable part of the Taiwanese experience. Something that's indispensable is something you can't do without. Things wouldn't quite be right without it. Things wouldn't be proper without it. And indeed, if any of my friends or family visit me, I say, look, you got to try a bubble tea while you're here. Check one of these out. See what you think. And everybody does, because it's like going to a night market or seeing 101. It's just one of those things you have to do when you're here.
Well, I may not be going to a drink shop to order pearl milk tea, but I may go there to order some of their other drinks because they do have some tasty choices. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Let's turn things over now to our Chinese teacher.
再来，请同学看到第三段的部分咯。那这两个茶馆呢，他们等于是各说各话，所以彼此呢是有争执的 dispute. The dispute rages on.好，那当然大家就继续吵啦，所以我们动词片用 rages on。可是其实不论到底谁才是真正珍珠奶茶的起源，大家都想要做得更好吃，品质更好。好，那 the pursuit of excellent flavor and quality in handshaken drinks has never stopped。好，大家都一直想要更进步。那后面这个 with 其实呢是附带的说明。在主要子句之外呢，他想要再补充说明在什么样的情况之下 with the milk shop， 那大家都知道哦，这是米克夏另外这个品牌。那要特别注意的是，在 with 后面的动词是不可能用原形的，要做一点变化，所以 leading a shift。 所以呢，像这家手摇饮呢，他就特别哦注重他们的奶茶里面的材料，那做了一些改变， a shift toward往哪个方向改变，他们用更好的顶级的材料。好，再来呢，请同学看到第二个句子。那这家店呢，他们最主要呢，他们是主要在推广什么，那或者呢，他们希望大众更能够接受某件事情，所以他们使用的是所谓的白珍珠。好，那里面呢是没有这种防腐剂的，来取代什么呢？ In place of，用鲜奶要取代所谓的奶精， in place of 就是取代的意思。那再来，请同学呢看到第四段的第一个句子。好，这些手摇饮其实不只是喝起来好喝，视觉上也很不错。 They have become a feast for the eyes， 所以你看这些包装也会觉得很舒服。好，那最后第五段，请同学看到第一个句子。我们知道 其实啊，很多人买手摇饮不外乎就是一个目的而已。是什么呢？解渴。那解渴怎么说呢？ Relieving thirst。 那手摇饮是一种解渴的方法，那我们就会说 It's a means of relieving thirst。 好，以上就是我们针对这个手摇饮这篇文章所做的中文讲解，谢谢大家。
That brings us to the end of our program for today, but please join us again next time when we have another interesting topic to discuss with you all. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
And I'm Pat.
Goodbye.
Bye.